translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra, who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Purport. The next symptom of the age of Kali is that the principles of religion, which are spotlessly white, like the white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of the age. They may be descendants of a Brahmana or Kshatriya forefathers, but in the age of Kali, for want of sufficient education and culture of the Vedic wisdom, such Shudra-like population will defy the principles of religion, and persons who are religiously endowed will be terrified by such men. They will declare themselves as adherents of no religious principles, and of many isms and cults will spring up in Kali Yuga, only to kill the spotless bull of religion. The state will be declared to be secular or without a particular principle of religion, and as a result there will be total indifference to the principles of religion. The citizens will be free to act as they like, without respect of sadhu, sastra and guru. The bull standing on one leg indicates that the principles of religion are gradually diminishing. Even the fragmental existence of religious principles will be embarrassed by so many obstacles, as if in a trembling condition of falling down at any time. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshon Milatam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. So, I beg the blessings of our temple president here. He's kindly here on this auspicious day too. And we hope and all the assembled Vaishnavas for this amazing purport, very powerful purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's got so much in it. If you'll excuse me, I'll just get my note on it. So, as we go through, the symptoms of the age of Kali is that the principles of religion, which are spotlessly white, like a white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of the age of Kali for want of sufficient education and culture of Vedic wisdom. Just a Shudra population will defy the principles of religion. It's very interesting. It's almost there's a culture now that, well, it may not be now, yeah, it may even change, but they used to call it the New Age culture. Whatever it felt like, it's, you know, and if it felt good, it's okay. So I like this bit, but this doesn't sound to me very nice. You know, it doesn't suit my particular as I see it, in my opinion. And this is the modes of material nature. Modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, controlling everyone, actually. And it says that Prabhupada, he puts it down that actually the population of now is down to a sudra-like condition. That they are unintelligent and they're controlled by goodness, passion, and ignorance. But certainly, it says here, and I just wanted to point out, the four legs are the dharma of the bull of the religion. Which are on his four legs of compassion, austerity, cleanliness, and truth. So he's standing on one leg, which supposedly is the leg of the truth, that is sort of, you could say, is in a tottering condition nowadays. It says, thus Dharma could once go and become Gotra, a protector of the earth. That's the idea of the principles of religion. Sri Krishna established religious the function of Govardhan Puja to honor his favorite hill and the cows and the brahmanas. Therefore, we shall be very careful about impious activities pious activities, as we know, are the four legs of activities. But the impious activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, we should be very, very careful, because these are impious activities. But they're the four principles of impious activity: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. They are trying to defy the principles of religion. You can't make any spiritual progress by simultaneously acting impiously, and at the same time, it sure will go, but it will go very slow, like dry wood. It won't ignite the fire of a damp wood. If you bring wet fuel, it takes time. Of course, as soon as the fire, the wetness of the fuel will be dry, but that will require extra energy. What Prabhupada is talking about, that somehow we like to mix a bit of what we got with what we're doing under guidance, if we're not careful. And so we try and under guidance stick with these principles. So and it says, with isms, an ordinary man, he likes to work for his own sense enjoyment. So the principles of sense enjoyment are extended to the individual to include the collective society, nation, humanity in general. It assumes a very attractive names like altruism, socialism, communism, and humanitarianism. These isms are certainly attractive forms of the karma bandhana, but the bondage of his own work. But the Vedic instruction, Sri Upanishad, that if you live for any of the above isms, you must make them all God-centered. So there can be isms, but they're God-centered. He says, so the family man, the altruist, the socialist, the communist, the nationalist, humanitarian, provided these activities are executed in relation with Ishvasya, God-centered conception. And so Prabhupada's trying to bring a sort of a karmic yoga impression here, that he's trying to bring and unite everything in the worship of the Lord, that in fact everything will become an act of worship under, you know, it may be isms, is this, ism this. But the thing is, the main thing is that it be brought in connection with the Supreme Lord. And so here, but the thing is, the terrifying image, I can remember when I was going to church in the Church of England, there was a person, he was preaching, and he was speaking the words of the Bible. But there was no questions or answers. There was, we used to have to sit there and listen, but there was no involvement. So I found this a bit of a revelation when I came into Krishna consciousness, that we can discuss the principles laid down, that it's being given to us in a form that it becomes enriched, you could say. You know when they say like stirring milk gets thicker and thicker? The same with discussion of Bhagavatam. It has its life in questions and answers for everyone. And we can hear a question from somebody. It sounds like an elementary thing that they're asking. But actually, what generally comes, as we should understand, is a confirmation. We should never consider something as a neophyte question or a certain thing. It's telling us that this question is probably relevant to us. Directly, we somehow delegate it to a lower position, that each question, though it seems obvious, it's not obvious because it's been brought up now. It's for us to consider at this moment that actually, directly, our impression is that we lose our attention to what's being said, that actually we shouldn't. It's really relevant. Maguru Maharaj, he emphasizes this point, that whatever happens in Bhagavatam, it's actually telling us something about ourselves, and we should contemplate it in such a way, even after the class, and discuss, and really understand the nature of how it applies in our lives, and how we can see it. And so the overall impression of this translation which Prabhupada's given us, the bull was white as a lotus flower. However, he was terrified of the Sudra who was beating him, who was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, and trembling and urinating. Now, the Sankirtan movement, of which is a marathon time, you know, we're coming into that period. You know, Mother Kalangana, I remember her, she was saying, you know, people on Sankirtan, they used to go out, but then sometimes they get fried. Somehow things, they were struggling. So they would maybe come back for a while and go down the Goshala, do service there, and then when they've recouped their strength. But the one thing I remember about Mother Kalangana, and she had her steady service of sweet making and helping in the cooking and going on the altar. She said every now and then, "Oh, I'm in Maya. I must go out on Sankirtan. I must distribute Prabhupada's books." That was her cure. It wasn't, she had the cure to come back to the manor and rest from him. Her cure was to go out on Sankirtan. And she knew, actually, the amazing purification that was there for her, and she took it as that. And it won't please Prabhupada. So we're at a nice time of year. Still, whatever we can do to propagate Prabhupada's books, because we just wouldn't understand what's being said here about a cow standing on one leg and urinating. How would we know? You know, it's very graphic, and it's shocking. But Prabhupada wanted to wake us up. It is shocking, but somehow the truth of the matter is shocking. You know, like we found with this COVID. People, this has really shocked people. But in such a way that it's worldwide shock. And there's no place to hide, actually. Except that we take precautions as prescribed. And that's what we're going through at the moment. Mother Vishakha, in her glorification, I remember, of the congregation, how they're so determined to have their darshan. How they want to support this little bit of nectar. This is also sankirtan. It's very precious. And it's during this time of Christmas. And, you know, people that used one at one time would celebrate it in a religious state. But even that sort of started to disappear. And it became a time of materialism and commercialism. And so gradually the religious principles disappear in this the glare of materialism. And so it's this time that our congregation are so special and enabling us to carry on and support the deities, which is, there are our benefactors, there are our well-wishers in all circumstances. In fact, unless we support them, nicely, that we, that they should be our patrons, regarded as our patrons. Without them, we're nothing. We have no focus. We don't know who Radha and Krishna is even, because whoever we are, we somehow they relate to each person in their service, and. They're our bosses, and in our cleaning, in our honoring prasadam, book distribution or whatever, that we should see them in our heart, that this is for Radha Gokul Nanda, Shri Gaur Nitai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, that we're worshipping them in whatever we do. So all the services that you're doing now here, in keeping the temple operational for our wonderful supportive congregation, are really so important. They have significance, and they're not a mundane thing. They're as I say, an act of yoga, an act of worship. So I know now they. Got to start a yoga 4:15, so I have to finish at 4:15. Is there any comments and questions on this particular graphic verse of the cow being beaten and the bull being beaten? Any comments, corrections, guidance? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prajna Prabhu, for your class. I was just remembering when you were talking about Mother Kulangana and the significance of distributing Prabhupada's books. I remember it was 2 years ago, I think, and Mother Jagatam, she's still around, a Prabhupada disciple as well. And she was coming into the temple room to take darshan. Obviously, there was no lockdown at the time. And she met me. We had never met each other before, but she came and she was just telling me how she was having a distressed time, and then she didn't have any solution for her distress, so she went out on books and started distributing Bhagavatam, and she just felt so happy and so peaceful. It's like nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. And it just got me thinking, how can we cultivate our mind to see Sankirtan as a means of even escaping our problems, or not, or something that we take as full shelter? How do we make it something that's like a shelter for us, rather than just a service that we have to do, or just on that basis? Yeah. What can we do to cultivate that mood of, this is my shelter and this is what protects me, and that I should actually have that mood?
Well, there's it will please, and who should we try and please? There's those who are guiding us and supporting us, you know, that will please them. It will please Prabhupada as well, because we're doing it through our spiritual guides. Our pleasure is not our concern. It's the pleasure of those who are looking after us. You know, it says, what does it say? In the prayers in the morning, the spiritual master is very pleased to see the devotees. They're honoring prasadam. They're also honoring the Lord. This pleases his heart. And he's basically a representative of Krishna. You know, so it's not our pleasure that we're searching for, but it's our guru's pleasure, and it's austere. You know, because we've got this thing called the mind, so-called intelligence, and it's very difficult to overcome at times, because we identify with the mind and so-called intelligence, but if we keep our focus on the spiritual master, and it says also, back to Vinod Thakur, he says, chant the holy names with a guru in mind. And that's what you're doing when you're on Sankirtan. You're chanting. It's a form of chanting. It's giving out the words of the Lord. And it's attentive chanting. You just do the best you've got, because that's all you've got, isn't it? So you give your heart to it, basically. And whatever's happening in this world, it seems tough. But if we can get rid of our fruitive nature, like, oh, I've only done one book today. That's fruitive nature. It's not a case of that. That's one book. One Sankirtan Christmas, I was going out. I wanted to only do Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was my first book. Flapjacks, we had flapjacks there, we had Bhagavad Gita's there. All the flapjacks went. But the Bhagavad Gita's weren't going. And I thought, oh no, what's happened? So I was there all day. And I was just packing up. And a lady who was parked in a taxi, she beckoned me over. She says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm distributing these books. They're books on yoga, the form of yoga. They call it bhakti. And it's very nice book. It tells you about different types of yoga. And she says, oh, my daughter likes yoga. And she said, how much are they? I said, £10. She said, oh, I'll have one. She took the book, but I didn't distribute it. That's what comes of that. I didn't distribute it. I didn't approach her. But Krishna gave me that one little drop of nectar. And that whole day was worth it. For distributing one book. It's not in our hands, it's in Krishna's hands. We can make the effort, you got everything all there. But somehow or other, if they're not taking by, again, Krishna's arrangement, that we should know we've got limited power. And it's Krishna that distributes books. That's our point. It's him that's distributing. We just give what we got. So I don't know if that will show you as an illustration that maybe. Yeah. Okay. I think we've got to finish here now. Sorry. Okay. Any questions, Matajis? Just one, maybe. Yeah. Comments? No? Okay. We're into it. All now for the initiations. Congratulations to all those people too. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gopi Manandi. Adi Bol.